ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sport.
It's over and lunch.
End of the over.
Bales are flicked off.
We're heading off for a refreshment and a meat pie.
And that ends the morning session.
That is lunch.
You're listening to Grandstand at Lunch.
On your radio.
ABC Sport Digital.
And take us with you on the ABC Listen app.
So the day started with Australia still at the crease. They were eight down when the day began. A half century for Mitchell Starc before eventually Jofra Archer was able to wrap up the innings. Line hit on the pad, shout for leg before to get the last finger goes up. It's a fifer for Jofra Archer. And what a comeback for him. A fiery end in Brisbane and he's taken it with him to Adelaide. Aussies all out, 371, Archer 5 for 53. So how would England go? Well, their openers made a pretty good fist of it. They got themselves to 37 until...
Full again, beating the outside edge. No, it's a thin edge, gone through to Carey. The finger's gone up. And Cummins does get the wicket. Zach Crawley has gone for 9. A single figure score again for England's opener. And Australia get the breakthrough they wanted before lunch. England... and replied to Australia's 371, a 1 for 37. And Cummins is straight back into the Aussie team and back taking wickets.
The other guy that returned was Nathan Lyon. I wonder what would happen when he got the ball in his hand bowling to Ollie Pope.
Lyon moves in, shaven, headed outside the offstump. In the air, diving catch taken. Lyon gets a wicket with his very first over. And Ollie Pope walks off. A disappointing 3 from his perspective. But that's an excellent catch taken as well. Hunts around for Nathan Lyon. England are 330 behind. And Pope has lifted a catch to mid-wicket.
Ollie Pope, what are you doing?
Didn't stop there. He impacted the game again, Nathan Lyon, at the end of his first over of the test.
This is the series, remember. Australia 2-0 up. Lyon in. Oh, and he's got him! Lyon has got Duckett. Fooled him. 20 minutes to go till lunch. Lyon's got 2, Cummins got 1. And England now in disarray, trying to reply to Australia's first innings. 3 for 42. And Australia a cock-a-hoop for themselves, for Nathan Lyon as well.
3 for 59, the lunch score. England trailing the test match by 317. Joe Root still there on 11, and Harry Brook is not out on 6. This is Grandstand at Lunch. Hot day in Adelaide. It's currently 37.9 degrees, so just shy of 39, which is the forecast top. This is Grandstand at Lunch. My name's Corbin Middlemass. I'm very pleased to be joined by a pair in the box who are both wearing shirts saying WAC MS for 6. One of them very well known to us in particular. They're both MS ambassadors. The ambidextrous captain of the South Australian women's team. It's a famous surname in Australian cricket, period. Gemma Barsby's here. Gemma, great to see you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Bo Eastman sits alongside you. Bo, I've been learning a little bit about your story. You're also an MS ambassador. Appreciate you you coming by as well.
That's right, Corbin. Thanks for having me.
It's what a day. Test cricket at Adelaide Oval. Is there anything better than this?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's really good to see that Adelaide's turn on the weather and the heat as well, just for right on day for all 5 days.
So you're both ambassadors for MS. Gemma, we've learnt a lot more about your story recently. I feel like I've covered your career forever. You've played over a decade now in the WBBL, and yet we've been learning a little bit more about your battle with MS. I guess fill us in as best you can. When did you first learn that that this was something that you would have to live with in not just in life but also as part of your professional sporting career?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed when I was 19, and I guess obviously, yeah, being diagnosed, but I was actually very fortunate that being in within the cricket system, I found out very, very quickly, where a lot of MS people, that when they find out, it usually takes them quite a while. It can take up to a year, even more, to find out. And for me to be able to find out within a week, because of how fortunate we are with MRI scans and stuff, I was, yeah, very fortunate in that aspect. But yeah, I've been dealing with it ever since then. I thought I probably, after being ambassador for a lot of different companies and sitting on panels, that's when I realized how much people struggle with living with MS, and that's when I really wanted to, I guess, use my story and my platform to get it out there to, firstly, yeah, raise the awareness and get people talking about it, but also then hopefully be able to raise some vital funds for the potential new drug that we're trying to, yeah, raise the funds for.
So, well, until you had an MRI, you didn't realise, obviously, that you had MS. Did you have symptoms? Is that why you had the MRI, or how did you first come to be diagnosed and to learn about the condition?
Yeah, so I was fortunate at the time to be invited into an Aussie camp for the weekend, and I was pretty much a bowling machine for that whole time, and I had a bit of a sore shoulder off the back of that, and the tips of my fingers were all numb, and they were like that for a couple of weeks, and then, yeah, that's when we decided to get the MRI scan, and I actually had a couple where the first one there, and then that's when they realised it. They didn't actually tell me, and then I had to go back and get the blue dye injected just to try and make it a bit clearer, and then that's when I found out, and yeah, I still remember that day so clearly, getting told by the team doctor, we're still going to be friends, right? And that's probably when I knew it was going to be something pretty serious, and yeah, like a lot of Australians, when they first get diagnosed, don't know what MS is, so I did the old Dr. Google, and that was not the smartest thing I ever did, because getting told that you could be in a wheelchair. So, yeah, that probably wasn't ideal. But, yeah, I'm just very fortunate that I have a mild case, but I still have those good and bad days. But now it's just trying to, I guess, yeah, raise that awareness and help the people that are less fortunate than me.
So you've played more than a decade of domestic cricket since your diagnosis. How does MS impact your life day to day?
Yeah, obviously playing cricket in the summertime is not ideal because heat can bring in the symptoms. So for me, it's trying to keep my core body temperature as cool as possible. So that's even before games or during having slushies, wearing ice vests, and then making sure that after the game, I'm having a cold shower instead of an ice bath, just so that it's not a massive, I guess, jump from being really hot to really cold. So and then it's just about listening to my body with the real fatigue as well. So yeah, it's just trying to, I guess, be vulnerable and let people know how I'm feeling.
Gemma Barsby, the captain of the South Australia women's cricket team, and also an Adelaide striker, alongside Beau Eastman with me in the box at Adelaide Oval during the lunch break. England, 3 for 59 at lunch on day two. Beau, what's your story? What's your experience with MS?
Yeah, so, well, first off, Gemma and I first met through the same manager, and he was just telling me about the MS campaign that Gemma's behind, and he told me it's about raising funds for multiple sclerosis. Have you heard of MS? And I said, I know all about it. Unfortunately, my brother passed away through complications of MS. So, and then he got us connected, and of course, I had to join this journey with Gemma to help, you know, to get the story out there, raise awareness, and see if we can get people aware enough to head over to whackms.com to help raise the funds, because this is a breakthrough treatment. And yeah, hopefully it will go towards people like Gemma and for those who are going through it.
Can you tell us a bit more about, I don't want to make you emotional, but can you tell us a bit more about your brother Joel and I guess what he faced, you know, living with MS?
Yeah, sure. So he was diagnosed at the age of 16 through high school. And just like Gemma, he was actually doing indoor cricket and he was doing some bowling, and he felt it in his arm as well. He went to mum, mum, I don't feel very good in this arm. And then through the years, it just, yeah, he got the diagnosis that he has MS. And then, unfortunately, if Gemma had to live through MS, I'm glad that she's got a mild. Unfortunately, Joel got it progressively. So through the years, his tremors got worse. Whenever he's out in the heat, that really affected him as well. He had to stay indoors. And unfortunately, it affected his speech, his vision, and he couldn't walk anymore, and he had to stay in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he was a passionate surfer. He was a soccer player. And through those years, he was teaching me how to surf and play soccer as well. And then, unfortunately, he passed away with organ failure because of the complications of MS.
It's a harrowing condition, my heart goes out to you. I mean, what do you, as someone that is caring for someone that's going through that, I imagine it would feel incredibly helpless as to what you can actually do as someone who is a close friend, relation, whatever it turns out to be, of someone who's living with MS.
Yeah, of course. So mum and dad were definitely the biggest big-time carers, and I was like his clown. So Joel and I, we were brothers. We were best mates. So what helped us get through was basically humour. Yeah, so... So because of his tremors, every time we go for a high five, he would miss my hand, and I go, oh, come on, mate, you can try better than that. Or if he wanted to punch me because I hit the remote or something like that, I was like, well, come on, give us your best shot. Even though he couldn't get up properly, I still make him do it. And then he would try and do it. So, and then he would just fall to the ground. And then I would just go down, oh, come on. Yeah. And then I'll just wrestle with him. So basically, it's brotherly love. It's humor. We never let it ruin our day. So basically, even the darkest days can actually lead to such a, to having a good laugh sort of thing.
You're an award-winning wildlife filmmaker. You're also a surfer as well, as you touched on, and you obviously got that through your brother, Joel, and your relationship with them. You mentioned you met through your manager. So what are you two hoping to do together? As you said, the WAC MS for Six, clearly trying to raise funds. What do the funds go to, and I guess what's the end game to all of this?
Yeah, so yeah, that's exactly right. And at the moment, our little mission for this chunk is we'd like 20,000 Australians to donate $100 to WACMSFor6.com. But our ultimate goal by the end of 2026 is to raise $6 million, and that will firstly go to manufacturing the potential new drug, but then also get into the phase 2 trial of humans too. So that will take a bit of time too. So that the trial roughly takes about 18 months. So that's why we have that deadline of trying to raise that $6 million by the end of next year, because we don't want this stopping people with living with MS for any longer than it already has. So we want that timeline to be end of next year, so then we can get that trial going. And it has shown real good potential to reverse and repair MS, where a lot of the drugs out there at the moment kind of just suppress it, where this one has the chance to actually reverse it and give people living with MS a better life. So it's really good signs at this stage, but we really need to raise those funds to get it to that next stage.
WAC MS for Six is just punch that into your search engines, but WAC MS for Six WACMS.com.au is the place to go, and you can donate. I'll make sure I do a little ring around here. We'll put all our guys down for $100 as well, and make sure we start to tick that over. I've got a million questions for both of you. I want to talk about this wildlife filmmaking as well. It sounds like the coolest gig in the world. How on earth do you end up becoming a wildlife filmmaker, Bo?
Oh man, where do I start? So basically, Mum just I couldn't watch Play School or Sesame Street when I was little. So, but Dad would always take me out for a body surf. Joel would take me out for a body surf. And then Mum just went, okay, he loves the ocean. I might get him a David Attenborough wildlife documentary. And then that's where it all started. So I started watching killer whales, and then I started watching humpback whales, and it just went on from there. And then I made a short film about my brother Joel, who that Gemma's actually watched. It's called Our Guru Surfing. It's a very old short film. So it's based on Joel with his MS and surfing. And that won 2 film awards. And it actually won a second award right after he passed away as well. So, so that was pretty emotional. But, hey, it was good. It's getting the message out there. And then that's when I decided I would love to be a wildlife filmmaker. So through the years, just started filming random wildlife. It's ended up on YouTube. It's ended up on Breaking Boundaries, The Science of Our Planet on Netflix with David Attenborough. And now, right now, I'm working on my own wildlife series called Enter the Wild. So, guys, head on over, check it out. Yeah. I'm also, I've ran out of budget to make some more episodes. But looking for funds as well for that. So, head on over to my GoFundMe page, Enter the Wild.
Any dramatic close encounters or anything like that?
We actually have a GoPro on the back of a wedge-tailed eagle to give us a great POV of the whole area. And even a POV on the back of a female humpback whale getting crowded by heaps of male humpbacks. So you actually get to experience a real humpback whale heat run along the Gold Coast.
Jeez.
So yeah, check that out. It's on the YouTube channel right now.
That's a pretty cool gig. How'd you go as a cricketer?
How'd I go as a cricketer?
Yeah.
Not too bad. I was actually talking to Gemma about, if I don't get to see you play out here, we might as well do some backyard cricket. No rules.
Yeah.
Well, Gemma, I'm keen to talk about your cricket. I mean, the one thing you always get asked about is the fact that there's very few players that are ambidextrous. And yet, even more impressive now that we've learned a little more about your story and everything else you've been dealing with over the last decade in the competition, but you have the ability to bowl finger spin both left and right arm. Where on earth did that start? Is that just something you party trick you picked up in the backyard, or when did you first discover, hey, I've got pretty good control here with both of my major limbs?
It was in the backyard when I was younger. Instead of going in and crying to Mum and Dad all the time, not being able to get my brother out, I don't know what came across me. I just thought I'd try the different arm, and remember Dad was standing up on the balcony and he saw it, and he's like, was that just with your other arm? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you've got to keep doing that. So it's pretty much, from a young age, and it's definitely gone through the ups and downs. Like, I had a lot of scrutiny at the start, being like, you've got to perfect one arm first before you utilize the second. But then I guess as the more the game's changed, the more people have been on board, and it's like, yep, yeah, right, you utilize that as a skill and a matchup. So yeah, I've definitely brought it more out now recently.
Captain South Australia nowadays, but you're famous Queensland surname. I mean, there's the Barsby name. Your dad starred in Queensland's maiden Sheffield Shield title when your brother played domestic cricket for Queensland. You started at Queensland. Now you live here in South Australia. The obvious question, and just amongst friends. Are you South Australian or are you a Queenslander?
State of origin for footy, absolutely Queensland. They don't get rugby league here, so that's, I'm getting used to that. But I'd say, yeah, South Australia now, and absolutely love it. I have a house here, so I think as soon as I bought here, that cemented my spot here.
I like it. I like it. How's the test match been? I mean, have you been here for lots of it? How do you go as watching others play cricket as a current pro cricketer yourself?
Yeah, it's cool. Obviously, yeah, we're very fortunate as cricketers. We get members tickets, so been out in the village green a little bit, sussing it out, you know. Just, yeah, thought, do my due diligence out there. And, yeah, so experienced that. Was here yesterday as well, and then I'll be here tomorrow. So my brother arrives tonight, so I'll pick him up. And he wanted to experience a Ashes test at Adelaide Oval, so, and at the village green. So I'm sure I'll be out there all day tomorrow as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Just last one to bring it back to WAC MS for six. I noticed when you... picking up wickets in the WBBL, you had the celebration, the heart celebration, which is something that the pair of you share. Where were the origins of that? And tell us a little bit about how that all came about.
Yeah, definitely. We obviously wanted to do something that's quite easy and simple out on the cricket field, and even to get people here. We got some guys on the hill to do it this morning for us, just to do the quick love heart symbol. But it all, that just means in MS survivorship. So it was a way to be able to connect that and do something simple and get us talking about it. So yeah, it just goes back to MS survivorship and giving hope for those people living with MS.
You're an absolute warrior. We love watching you play. Love your time as always on ABC Sports. So thanks for dropping by for a chat. All the best with it. WACMSfor6.com.au to Bo Eastman and also to you, Gemma Barsby. Thanks heaps for being my guest at Grandstand at Lunch.
No, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Gemma and thanks to Bo. This has been Grandstand at Lunch on ABC Sport. Still to come, Talia McGrath is our also going to stop by with Ben Cameron in just a moment. Quick state of play. So 3-4-59 is the score at the lunch break. England trailing by 312 runs. Joe Root not out on 11 and Harry Brook is on 6. Let's check in with the Australian women's vice captain with our own Ben Cameron.
Well, Talia McGrath, the Australian all-rounder, joins us on Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport. How are you enjoying your day at the cricket?
Loving it. A bit biased, but best ground in the world. So it's been nice to sit back and watch a bit of cricket and hopefully a few more wickets for the Aussies.
I think a lot of people agree with that sentiment. Did you come here much as a kid and watch Test match cricket? Are there any particularly fond memories?
All the time. I love coming here as a kid watching the cricket. The stadium's changed a fair bit over the years, and it's an absolute spectacle at the moment. And highlight the Pimm's tent out the back and everyone enjoying their time. But, yeah, lots of childhood memories sitting in the stands, Adelaide Oval.
Is there a favourite memory that stands out?
I distinctly remember watching the SA Scorpions out here when I didn't even know there was a women's team. So that was a bit of a pivotal moment to me when I saw some women's role models out there. I went, hang on a minute, there could be a career here for me. So that's one that sticks out for me.
It feels like the living embodiment of the saying, you can't be what you can't see. You saw it and now you're doing it. There is a series coming up against India in February, 3 T20s, 3 ODIs and a standalone test, as we so often see now. How are preparations coming along for that?
Yeah, we're excited. Obviously, that World Cup semi-final defeat hurt. Gone off and play a bit of Big Bash, time off, and we get back together for that series. And at home against India, that's going to be huge. And I think we're all eyeing off that test match at the WACA. So hopefully a really big series, really good series for us, and play some good cricket.
I've heard you speaking on the ABC, I think locally in South Australia, speaking about the fact that you maybe felt a little bit of burnout and you've just had a little bit of time to try and gather yourself and freshen up. What has that looked like?
Yeah, it's been a big 3 months. It's been non-stop. Lots of travel, leadership roles. So at the moment, yeah, it's nice to have a break. At the last week, just to get away from cricket, put the bat down, and just enjoy some time at home with family and friends. So a little recharge time at the moment, but come next year, really keen to get back into it.
What does that look like? Is that the beach? Is it walking the dog? What does Talia McGrath do to get away from cricket?
Yeah, it's the beach. It's going out for brunch. It's going for walks on the beach. A little hit of golf every now and then, but just, yeah, little refreshers, getting away from the game and seeing some people that are close to me as well. So it's been nice.
I say this as respectfully as possible because you're a far better cricketer than I ever was. But I know your form wouldn't have been where you wanted it to be probably for the last 12 months, be that internationally, be that in the WBBL. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, it's certainly been below par. It's been a bit of a challenging year personally with bat and ball. Haven't quite contributed as much as I would have liked. Don't know what it comes down to, probably a number of things, but yeah, just haven't been good enough. So for me, I'm really excited coming up to play some WNCL cricket for South Australia, hopefully spend some time in the middle, hopefully bowl a few overs and just get that confidence in my game back.
Do you think that's linked to the burnout that we were speaking about?
Look, there's a lot of travel. I play in sort of a different role in every team, gone down the order a bit in the Australian team and just failed to sort of make that my own. So hopefully, yeah, like I said, get a bit more confidence under my belt and continue contributing for the Australian team.
You were a central figure to one of the craziest things that we've seen in cricket in a long time. A throw in the warm-up that goes under the roller and we have crater gate and a match called off. Talk me through it. What on earth happened there?
That was one of the most bizarre things I've ever been involved in a cricket field. And yeah, Elise Villani and I were talking to the umpires and they explained it to us. And when we said, can we go over and have a look at it? And when they lifted the covers off, our jaws hit the ground. It was huge. So safety and that came in. But bizarre incident and one that we were surprised it hasn't happened before, actually, yeah, with the amount of balls flying around in innings break.
So how big was the divot? Like, what are we talking about? Was it a full sort of half ball, half moon divot into the pitch? Was it on a good length? Where was it?
It was pretty significant, and it was on a middle stump line about 7.5 metres down the track. So it was perfect Darcy Brown territory. And, I would have been pretty fearful if I was facing up knowing that big divot was there.
So what did they tell you? Was there any chance that they were going to fill it in? Because we were getting reports. We were up in Brisbane doing that test, and we were getting reports. Are they going to try and put clay over the top of it? I was thinking, I don't know how that would work. If the ball hits that area, it's going to play very differently to the rest of the pitch. What did they tell you?
Yeah, there was a few conversations going on. The umpires, the groundies, they tried to fill it. They were just unsure how it was going to react was the ultimate thing. But there was rain around. We were running out of time, and ultimately it was just deemed too dangerous. But yeah, it was all happening there for about half an hour.
I've got to ask you about one of your teammates, someone you know very, very well. People listening to Grandstand at Lunch will have just heard from Gemma Barsby. It's an incredible story she's telling at the moment with her challenges with MS. As a teammate, someone who knows her, how would you describe what she's been through, going through, and how she manages it all?
She's an inspiring cricketer, that's for sure. And I think that the thing is, you know what she's going through, but she doesn't show that. She's a real competitor and a real fighter, and she's the type of player that you want on your side because, so caring, such a competitor, and to see what she's gone through and how she just carries on no fuss in the career she's had is quite inspirational, and a player that I love playing alongside.
Talia, we can't wait to see you back and firing in those T20s, ODIs, and that test against India, and I'm sure the Australian public are hoping a little bit of revenge for that semi-final defeat to India. Thanks for joining us here on Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Tali McGrath, the Australian women's vice-captain with our own Ben Cameron during the lunch break. This has been Grandstand at Lunch on ABC Sport on a hot day at Adelaide Oval. It is a little breezy, and I can assure you that breeze is more like a hairdryer than it is any sort of relief for people in and around the Adelaide CBD. 37.9 degrees on our way to the forecast top of 39. State of play in the Test match, Australia all out for 371 earlier today with Mitchell Starc making 54. First time in his Test career, he's scored back-to-back half centuries. He's also the fifth leading run scorer in the series so far. So that goes to show what he's been able to do with the bat. Plus, he's obviously the leading wicket taker so far with the ball. 371 all out the Australians. Jofra Archer 5 for 53. And now England batting for the first time. They had a little 15-minute hiccup, which has been far too familiar for them throughout the series so far, where they lost 3 for 5. And after being none for 37, found themselves on the ropes at 3 for 42. They have made their way to 3 for 59 at lunch. Joe Root to resume on 11. So much is on his shoulders again, and Harry Brook is there on six. England with it all to do, still trailing the Test match by 312 runs. Now, coming up, the second session is only moments away. It's a hot one. There'll be two drinks breaks squeezed into it. But for now, let's get the latest from the ABC newsroom.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.